begins to flow from your heart, give God the best of your praise this morning. Sitina lesida leska bibunishikalia. Rananina amesumilu askadiza halahasta. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. On some God, we thank you. We trust you this morning that you will bless our hearts. You will increase us. Virtues will be added unto us. By the understanding of your word today, we will increase. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Give the Lord a big hand. Make a joyful noise. Let me celebrate the choir. Please celebrate. Celebrate them. This is wonderful. Now you're hearing. That's a song you sing early in the morning when you wake up. Amen. I'm so happy this morning. How many of you are happy this morning? Celebrate the Lord. Celebrate Him. Amen. I want to start by appreciating the church for your love, your care, your prayers, calls, SMSs. You have really amazed me for the love shown to me on my birthday. I don't know how to thank you people. I had never had a birthday like this. Even my wife knows. I've never. Since when she married me, I've never had a birthday like this. Amen. And so it's amazing, and I was, you know, so amazed when I was told of the development, I think the night of my birthday, that certain people and some of our church members engaged in 24 hours prayers for me. For me, that is bigger than anything, and the Lord will reward you for that. I felt the impact. Yeah, I felt the impact. I didn't know when I was praying. You know, on my birthday, I was praying. I just wanted, you know, on your birthday, you want to ask for birthday gift from God. And God said, just keep thanking me. So I didn't know some people were actually praying for me. He said, just keep thanking me. So I thank you all too, you know. The Lord will honor your labor of love. I know it wasn't convenient for many people to come to my house that early. The Lord will raise men to honor you. Whatever you do, men will support it. In Jesus' name. Once again, thank you, and I love you all. Amen. Yeah, very interesting this morning. The Holy Spirit has impregnated me with a lot of things. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me deliver effectively that we will increase. Say amen to that. Now, last week we started a very interesting series. Very, very interesting. And please, I'd like you to follow. If you're not around last week, get the tapes. Get the tapes. It's very important. Receiving the word. Say after me, say receiving the word. Yeah. When we receive, that is how we can dispense. Jesus himself had to sit among lawyers and doctors to discuss exegesis of the scripture. The Bible saying in the book of Luke, the Bible says, and his father and his mother left him in Jerusalem after the feast. And the Bible says he left them in where they were eating. He left and went to where the scripture was being discussed. He went to where Bible study was staged. It was actually supposed to be a feasting on food, but he went on where men were feasting on the scripture. The Bible says he asking question and giving answer. And the Bible said they were amazed at his spiritual intelligence. Even Jesus, the Word. The Word studied the Word. Hallelujah. The Bible said he sat
When he answered the devil in Luke chapter 4, when he said to the devil, it has been written. Listen, until you read, you don't know what is written. There is no how what is written can come to your mind or to your spirit except by the way of reading. Say after me, say reading. And there's no how you can receive the word without reading the word. Thank God for technology. Do you know there are apps today you can download? Russian showed me lately, I didn't know. There are apps you can download that will help you to read. And you know there are audio Bibles. I have audio Bible in Yoruba, I have in English. I listen to audio Bible. I finish a book. I finish books every day. Not like every day consistently. There are times I'm so busy I don't do, you know, audio Bible. But anytime I'm on audio Bible, I can finish an entire book. Go over it again. If I don't understand it in English, I switch to Yoruba. Receive. The Bible says, let the word of Christ be richly filled in you. Be richly filled with the word of Christ. To be richly filled means to be filled with quality of God's word. And listen to me. The only way to improve on your relationship with God is by the way of study. Studying the word of God. You can never improve in with God beyond your study of God's word. There is no how. Not even prayers. You can't. I want to know God better. I want to improve. I want my life to change. It's in study. Bury your head in study of God's word. You'll be amazed the kind of transformation that will happen in your heart. And I want to tell you the truth. Anytime you give yourself to God's word in study, there's actually an activity happening within you. There's a change going on the inside of you. There's a transformation. Either you feel it or not. Most often you don't feel it. Because it starts from your spirit. Hallelujah. So, things last week. I said a lot of things last week that I may not be able to repeat everything. And, you know, continue. Can you help me with the book of Job chapter 23 and verse 12? Let's look at Job. Prepare to give me this many version as available. Job chapter 23 verse 12. This will bless you a lot. Please follow. Where have I gone back from the commandment of his lips? I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Did you see that? This is placing priority on God's word. I have obeyed every word he has spoken. Not just obey his advice, I have treasured it. Go back to the King James. Go back to the King James. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed. To esteem means to put premium, to have value. I have value for God's word. More than my necessary food. And this occurred to me when I was studying this scripture, that before Job eats food and put food in his mouth, first he studied the word. And in my journey with God, I have discovered that it is wise to study God's word in the morning before eating. Most often we sleep when studying, when we have eaten a lot in the morning before going into study. I treasure, I value, I put premium on his word more than my necessary food. And this actually aligns with what Jesus said, for a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Remember that statement. Meaning there's no word of God that can be pushed aside. And say, this one, I don't like it. I have heard people say things like, so this portion of the Bible, I'm not too familiar with, you know, all those chronicles. Every word. I was listening to Rehan Bonnke many years ago. And Rehan Bonnke said he was preparing for a crusade in one country in Africa.
And while he was preparing, he said he opened this part of the scripture where genealogy was all that was written. Have you come across in your study? And the names are so difficult to pronounce because they are Jewish names. And you just say, no, this one cannot give him. But no, this one, I can't receive inspiration from things like this. Just go to the next page. And he said, the Lord told him, he said, pause. He said, he tried to open the next page. God told him, he said, pause. He said, every name is important to me. He said, read every name. Because every man written there is important. He said, from there, God began to show him the value of one soul. And that they don't go to crusade because there are thousands of people coming. They are going because somebody will come. He said, while he was studying the genealogies, he said, the Lord began to make him see destinies of men that have gone, that have come and gone in this earth, and how important everyone is to him. So God told him, he said, look at the scripture that way. So, his understanding about studying genealogy. No name mentioned was mentioned accidentally in the scripture. Even the ones you can't pronounce. Every word I esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That you all agree with me that if you don't eat, if you are not, it doesn't matter how anointed you are, if you don't eat, you'll be weak. And the Bible says the word of God is more important even than the food you eat. Shout hallelujah. Can I have it in the TLB? Or let me read the TLB. You know, this is very important. The TLB. Job 23. Okay. Yes, I have not refused his commandments. I have enjoyed them. The Bible says, "Is Holy Spirit, the word of God is perfect, making wise the simple. His word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb." May you come to that point where you will stay. Holy Spirit, thank you. You know, I remember those days growing up as a Christian. One experience you should have that you should enjoy as a believer, desiring the sincerity of the milk of God's word. You know how a baby is excited when the mother carries the baby to give the baby milk. That's how you should be excited. And that was what Peter was trying to say. He said, desire. Crave for the sincere milk. Crave sincerely for the milk, which is the word of God. Now listen to me. He said, I read that part again. Read that part again. There's something I want to see there. I have not refused his commandments. I have enjoyed them. The NLT says, I have not departed from his command, but I have treasured his words more than my daily food. More than my daily food. One thing anybody will take away from you that will make you angry is your daily food. Some of us who are husbands, when you get home, tired, first thing is, where is my food? Hallelujah. It should be in the morning, where is my Bible? First and foremost. So at night, you come back and say, where is my food? Amen. And so, it's very important. Put value on God's word. Many of us don't have value for God's word. And you all agree with me that whatever you have value for, you will give time and attention. How many of you agree with me? Whatever you place premium on, you have value for it. And that's why you see that the life of Job was exceptional. God himself announced Job to the devil. He said, have you seen my servant Job? This is the reason. He said, the Bible says he was perfect. Say, in the entire East, there was no one that was as perfect as him. Job. Give me Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bible, open Acts chapter 2, verse 42.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Give me in the King James Version. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, that word doctrine, I'm still going to explain to you. That word doctrine means teaching. They devoted. They continued steadfastly. They were consistent. The reason you see people stay in church for years and they are not growing, it's not because they don't come to church service. They ignore most important part of church service. The teaching of the word. Growing up those days, as soon as the message starts, you see people moving out. Especially members of the choir. But I know it's not like that in this church. You see them moving out. And as soon as the preacher says, in Genesis, you see them rushing, coming up. And you see, they are aging in church, not growing. Those are the most dangerous people in church. Those who know the history of the pastor, but they are not growing with the pastor. Dangerous people. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now look at here. Look at this scripture. The teaching of the apostle was placed first. He said, then fellowship. Then followed by breaking. The last part was even prayers. And breaking of bread. Now, more people come to church today for the bread, for the breaking of bread. How many of you remember when Paul was talking to the Corinthians church? He said, many of you come to eat the communion. Say, you are coming to church for the communion, even unprepared. People come to church for different reasons. The most important reason to come to church is to learn. And that's why if you are not a Bible study attendant, I have little respect for you. Because I just know you are not growing. I don't need to see you in my dream that you are Kwashoko. Because some of you, if God reveal who you are to you, your spirit man, you'll be ashamed. Consistently. Steadfastly, they gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine, teaching. They attended Bible study. They attended teaching of the word. It's a habit. So they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. And that word devotion means staying. The state of being ardently dedicated to something, to be devoted. The state of being ardently dedicated. You know, listen to me, we need dedicated brethren to the word. It's one of the things that we are not lacking gifted people. How many of you know that? We are lacking men who are committed to the word. Gift is everywhere. There are no committed people to the word. I said last week, I said, when you see a brother get too serious with the Bible on Saturday evening, he's on roster on Sunday. And he's asking his wife, "Where do you remember that scripture, that place where the Bible said, thou shalt?" You know, people call me on Saturday evening. I say, please, that scripture. Let me keep quiet. So anytime I receive that kind of call, I know he has sermon on Sunday. Hallelujah. Don't let people make you their concordance. Let them study for themselves. Find out. The Bible says the believers in Berea, the Bible says they were more noble. After Paul had taught them, listen, they had that habit before they got born again. Imagine that kind of habit after they got born. The Bible says they searched the scripture, confirming if what Paul said.
Many of you here, you receive junks in your daughter, not finding out. My wife was telling me, she heard me teaching, and she was telling me, is it actually like that in the Bible? I said, me too, I'm not sure, I've not seen it. But we are all students. He said, because one day, you hear teachings like this, and you go and quote it and say, and somebody asks you, and say, please, can you show me, ma? I heard you, you shared one rhema. Can you show me where it is? I heard one pastor said it. So, many of you have heard things that were not in the word, and you went about saying it, only to find out in your study that it was not even what the Bible says. Or a scripture quoted in a manner not the way the Bible presented it. It is only in your own study you can check the teachings from the pulpit. You feed on junk if you are not a student of the Bible. Oluwa iwo na lo sa so ninu oro re pe ti ogede ba ngbe owo se bi ara re lo fi na. Oh, you have not heard prayers like that before. Ati ko wi pe for those who don't understand Yoruba, it has been written, if banana raised his hand, it will beat itself, as it is written. I've heard people make references like that. But men who don't want it, horror. Tell everybody to find out for yourself. There's the generation of my pastor says, not the Lord says, our generation. So anything he says. And I told you yesterday, I said, be careful listening to any anointed person. Anointing amplifies anything it meets in a man. If he's teaching heresy because he's anointed, it will be so amplified that you say, Lakaba. Rema. I've heard people respond like that to errors, because they didn't find out for themselves. There's a version in my study. I studied with like 4 or 5 versions when I studied to have a better understanding. And in this scripture, I study with contemporary English version. And that version says they spend their time learning from the apostles. They didn't spend their time gossiping the apostles. The Bible says they spend their time learning from the apostles. You know, people travel from state to state to go and listen to ministers who they know carry what they need. I was listening to a man of God who was talking about Kenneth Hagin, that in his old age, Kenneth Hagin was taking seminar, just one day conference, once in a month till he died. And people will fly from all over the world. How many of you know that Kenneth Hagin didn't step into Nigeria? And from, I even heard he didn't even come to Africa. Men will travel learning from him. It is pride to think that you are a preacher, you don't listen to any preacher who don't listen to other preachers. Cannot go far. Learning. Didaskalia. I just like it in the Greek language. Didaskalia. Profitable for teaching, learning, doctrine, sound doctrine. That is what makes mature men. Not just fasting. Fasting can make religion out of you. Because when the time you should spend studying, you are fast. Hunger strike. I've seen people who died fasting ignorantly. Bible says, if any man will boast, let him not glory in anything. Jeremiah chapter 6, chapter 9. Let him glory that he has the knowledge of God. If the Bible, the only place where the Bible says we should glory on is our knowledge, is epignosis.
So the secret of their growth and exploit in the book of Acts was this. They gave attendance to learning. They gave attention to learning. So in the early church, the word of God was prioritized above every other thing. Yeah. There's a part of the scripture I want to share with you. I want to wait until the last part. It's very important. I just hope I will have enough time to do it. Very, very important. The Holy Spirit opened my eyes to a lot of things. Now, how many of you remember that the first miracle of Jesus after resurrection was that he opened the understanding of the disciples to understand the scripture? That was his first miracle. Because he could not do it, he could not start the teaching with them. Because he actually sat with them and taught them for 40 days. So before the teaching we start, the first miracle he did, the first miracle after resurrection was that the understanding of men were opened, that they might understand the scripture. Let me show you Luke 24 and verse 44. Give me very quick in the King James Version. Luke 24:44. Then, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. Torah, the first five books of the Bible, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, both major and minor, and in Psalms concerning me. So he wanted to start an introduction with them, showing himself to them in the scripture. So, knowing their state of mind, that the eyes of their understanding has not yet been enlightened, so that he will not waste 40 days of teaching. Look at what verse 45 says. Then open their understanding that they might understand the scripture. There's a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty God that giveth him understanding. Holy Spirit, help me. Now, I think as you pause here, I'll show you something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's do a little exegesis on 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3, 15. I want us to go there. And from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Hey, it's a privilege to get born again early. Hey, why? It takes time to know God. Many of you don't know how privileged you are that you knew God when you were teenagers. Hey. You know, one day I sat down. I imagined that I now got born again after 30. So you think I'll be able to pastor you? Hey. He was talking about Timothy, that Timothy has been exposed to the word when he was a child. Now, you got born again late, and yet you are still wasting time. You don't study the Bible. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Now, that word Holy Scripture there in the Greek meaning, it means Hierios Graphe. H-E-I-R-O-S. The word Holy. Hierios Graphe. Now, Graphe means Scripture. Scripture could mean Writings. Let me read a few things out to you. Things written. It is used to denote either book, the book itself or its content. A certain portion or section of the Holy Scripture. Writings. So, sacred writings. You have known sacred writings since when you were a child. Many of us, our parents exposed us to Western education first. But if the pattern by which we were exposed to Western education was how we were exposed to heliography.
Many of us would never have failed in school. Our parents spent a lot of money, bought a lot of textbooks, but some didn't buy one Bible. Some of us bought Bible ourselves when we grew up. Honor to some of our parents who bought, how many of you remember that cartoon Bible? And it wasn't that they read it to us. They only gave us to see the pictures. And that's why some of you think Samson has Moses, because of what the pictures in your head. Samson was probably like Bro Samson. Because you, listen, you won't believe the anointing if it was the Moses that was all around it. Hallelujah. Sacred. Consecrated. To deity. Now, that word holy means it is pertaining to God. These writings are not writings about men or secular affairs. They are sacred writings pertaining to deity. That's why the Bible cannot go extinct. Sacred scripture, because they are inspired by God, but there is no scripture that is of private interpretation. Men were inspired. Now, if men were inspired to write it, men would be inspired to understand it. And that's why science cannot help you understand the Bible. Looking for where archaeologists agreed with the Bible can't help you. And they go and say, hey, we have found where Jesus was buried. We discovered that there are some bones. Mm-mm. We are not depending on philosophy or science to understand. We are depending on inspiration of the Almighty God, because men who wrote it were inspired. That's why it does not take having Western education or being a professor to understand the Bible. Any man filled with the Holy Ghost, we understand. There are writings of divine things. Writings. Now, I said the understanding of the Holy Scriptures, sacred writings, only comes by inspiration. Write it down. You can't understand this book if you are not inspired. And that's why today we have people who have taught motivation out of this. They have taught all kind of things out of the Bible because they were not inspired to understand. Understanding is preceded by inspiration. Understanding is preceded by inspiration. Now, what is understanding? A divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify him or her to receive and communicate sacred revelation. I'm going to say it again. Understanding, according to this context, is a divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify him or her to receive and communicate sacred revelation. Now, men were inspired to write it. Men were inspired to understand by reading as they read it. Even the teaching equally takes inspiration. Hallelujah. There's a spirit in man, the inspiration
of the Almighty God that giveth him understanding. Receive understanding. And that was why, let me show you a scripture. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul prayed for almost all the churches where he wrote his epistles. He was praying that they will come to an understanding. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgments. Verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Let's go verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory. Give me from verse 7. Let's see from verse 7. Okay, go to verse 8. Okay, go to verse 12 now. No, okay. Now, he said, but I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things... No, this is not where I'm looking for. Let me get it briefly. Ancient words, ever true. Come on, sing it. Changing me, and changing you. We have come. Come on, sing it out loud. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Yes, let's go on. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6. Being confident of this thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, if you go further, let's look at verse 7. See, even as it is meet for me to think of this, all because I have in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense, confirming the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. Praise God. There's still actually a word I'm looking for in one of the verses. Verse 9. Maybe in your version. Read it in your version. Yes. Yes. An insight. A particular version said, and having spiritual understanding. That you will grow in spiritual understanding. That you come to a place of maturity. That you grow in spiritual understanding. Shout hallelujah. I pray for you that your understanding will be illuminated. Now let's go on. I pray we'll have enough time to deal with all this today. Okay. So we have seen. Now go back to 2 Timothy 3 and from verse 15. Let's go back. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. I've explained Holy Scriptures to you. which is able to make you wise.
Able to make you what?
Wise. Unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is talking about the wisdom of the Spirit. That the wisdom of the Spirit comes by having the understanding of the Scripture. You have the wisdom of the Spirit. Give me verse 16. All Scripture, talk to me, everybody say, all Scriptures is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine. I want us to pause there. The Scripture, now these are the borderlines for studying the Scripture. When you approach the Scripture, this is what you should look for. These four things I'm about to tell you, this is very important. Number one, you know, I was telling my wife, one of my greatest shock when I was growing up was when a prophet held the Bible. I've told you this before. And an issue happened, and he was saying he didn't do it. And people said, no, that was, he said, okay, let me swear. And he held the Bible like this and threw it on the floor. I thought that was all, and he stood upon it. And I was shaking. He stood confidently. He said, I am standing on the word of God. Please, is that the standing the Bible talk about? I am standing. And he began to curse and curse himself that he didn't do it. If he reads his Bible very well, not standing on it, literally, you will see where Jesus said, let your yes. I swear. No, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and let your no. Anything apart from that, the Bible says you are breaking the word. Hallelujah. So, that word doctrine, in the Greek word means didaskalia, didaskalia. You know, some of these Greek words at times help you. It's like a code word to remember some things. So any day you are studying this part, you will remember didaskalia, and it will make you pause to study more. Now, listen. Now, it translates as teaching, learning, or that which is being taught. So, first and foremost, the word of God is for learning. Romans 15, and from verse 4, from aforetime, these things were written for our learning, that we, through the comfort of the Scriptures, that we may be encouraged and strengthened. They were written for our learning. So, number one, the Bible is useful for learning. Say after me, say learning. So, if you have your Bible, you are not learning it, you are abusing the Bible. There's something we call the Bible abuse. One of it is what I've just shared with you. Putting your Bible as a pillow support is an abuse. Say, if I'm the Bible here, and before you know it, you think you want to study, you put it under the pillow. And some of you don't know, you are supposed to use that pillow for 3 months. You are not, it's for 3 years now. You're using it for 3 years, so you are not using your Bible. It's an abuse. A lot of abuse is going on. People abuse the Bible a lot. Abuse. So it's for learning. Number one, say learning.
Yeah, learning.
That's why when we come, we open the Bible and learn from it. Literally, it's not for you to give prophecy and say, "By Lolua, Evan Riba, Evan Wawa." That's not what it is meant for. That's not what it's meant for. It's meant to open it and learn. For learning. Now, it says, number two, for reproof. Now, that word reproof, I don't want to bother you with Greek translation, because when I mention some Greek, so people look confused. So let's stay with English. Let me not bother you. Now, that word in the Greek meaning is actually means evidence. The Scripture contains evidence. The reason we study the Scripture is to show men evidence. The Scripture contains a lot of evidence, most especially about the office of the Christ. One string connects the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. So, if you meet an unbeliever, or one of the ways to show them is evidence. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 15 and from verse 2 to save our time. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 2. See, after me, say evidence. The scripture is for what? Evidence. And so when somebody asks you, what is your confidence that you are healed? Are you not still feeling the symptoms? What is your evidence? Your evidence is in the word. If God says it, I believe it. One of our scriptures that God gave me that we're using before we got the land was, how many of you remember? Psalm 44. If you remember those days of prayer when we're trusting God, Psalm 44, verse 3. They got not the land in possession by their sword, neither did their strength give them. And we kept giving that scripture as evidence. It was our evidence in the spirit that men can get land without sweat. They got not the land. God gave them. It was not their sword. Say, because thou hast shown them favor. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. By which also ye were saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul was saying, I received certain evidences of what I taught you. It was what I delivered unto you. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Evidences. That there were evidences that he died. Now, how do we receive this evidence? Verse 4. And that he was buried and he rose again and the third day according to the scripture. Paul pointing to evidences in the scriptures. How many of you remember the Bible says, and that man called Apollos, he mightily convinced the Jews with the scripture that Jesus is Lord. So the evidence is used for conviction. If you are telling somebody something, you give him evidence to convince him of what you are saying. Verse 5. And that he was slain of Cephas and then of the 12. Yes, let's go. These are men who were there. There are evidences. They saw it. And after that, he was slain of above 500 brethren at once. So when people ask you, who was there? We have an evidence in the scripture that over 500 brethren were there, of whom the greater part remain until this present, and some had fallen asleep. Paul was saying some of the people who witnessed it were still alive when he was still writing that portion of the scripture. Say after me, say evidence. So, you shut the mouth of gainsayers by giving them evidence. That's why you must be a sound student of the Bible. There are too many gainsayers in the society. Go on Facebook, hear these people say rubbish. You don't answer them. The Bible says, answer a fool when he speaks, so that he will not think his foolishness is wisdom. He said, and don't answer him, so that he will not think you are on the same page. The two of you are talking the same thing. So you need to be, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Study to look for evidence. And so, if you have evidence, there's nothing anybody wants to say. You show them, look at what the Bible says. This is what the word says. Say after me, say evidence. Yeah. Let me rush. If whenever we stop, we'll continue. I'm deliberately taking it gradually because I really want you to get every detail. I want you to get every detail. So after we say evidence, yeah, conviction. Number 3, he says, go to 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16. He said the scripture is given for correction. Say after me, say correction.
Yeah, correction actually means restoration to an upright or a right state. Correction, improvement of life and character. That's what the word of God is meant for. To improve your life, to make you a better person, to give you a better disposition of the mind. So for correction, and anybody who hates correction will not be a friend of the Bible. That's why preachers and teachers have plenty enemies. I've ever preached before, somebody pointed at me, say, and when you were preaching, you almost called my name. You were pointing. I didn't even know what was his problem. I didn't know what he had went through in his life. So anybody who hates correction will hate Bible study. Most people who don't like Bible study are people who literally, you know, that people who don't like to be corrected. They are wise in their own mind. And the Bible says, is for correction. And so if you don't like correction, don't come to Bible study, because one of the things that will be done is correction. And there are people who will argue because it's not about the Bible, it's about them. And that's why when we study the Bible, when I see that brethren want to start arguing, I'll say, let's pause. It's not about us. It's about the word. It's not about who is right. It's about what is right. You see people say, in my own opinion, it's not about you. It's not a political party. We don't need your opinion. There's a thought on this word that we are trying to learn from for correction. And the Bible says, anyone who despises correction is close to destruction. When you see believers argue with the word, because the word will correct you. Even as a student of the Bible, there are things you have. I mean, if you remember last week, I said I studied some part of the scripture and I was laughing at myself. How we have used that scripture again, you know, for prayers. And I discovered it's actually about soul winning. Hallelujah. My time is up. Correction. Please stay in the word to be corrected. Expose yourself to correction, and you'll be a better person. Rise up to your feet. Have you learned something today? Shout hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. We ask to you all the praise and all the glory. Receive our praise. Thank you for your word that you have brought to us. We pray that we all increase in understanding. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.